Saratoga Shakespeare Company's free professional production of The Merry Wives of Windsor gets underway next week, directed by David Gerard. The play will be set in 1930 Saratoga as part of the Saratoga 150 celebration. Here to tell us all about it, we welcome Larry Opitz, who plays Falstaff and is the SSC Artistic Director. Yvonne Perry is also here. It's always a delight when she joins us. She plays Mistress Page. And Brenny Rabine joins us. She plays Mistress Ford in the show, and we'll tell you about all of their wonderful parts. I thank you all for being here. What a delight.
Thank you, Jeff.
Pleasure to be here,
thank
Jeff.
Thank you. So let us begin with you, Larry, of how you chose The Merry Wives of Windsor for this go-around July 16th through the 28th.
Well, we knew this was the 150th anniversary of the track. And for years, people had been thinking about what we could do, what Shakespeare we could do that referred to horses. And the first candidate was Richard III, of course. A horse, my kingdom for a horse.
I don't think the horse fares very well in that
Not at all, no.
Nobody fares very well in that one, yeah.
In Merry Wives of Windsor, which I always thought was a good candidate for a fun summer, there is a little horse plot that is often cut. And there are also references to greyhound racing. And with a little adaptation, we pushed the idea of horse racing and gambling and money and the racetrack. So, and it's also a production in England that has been one of the most popular of Shakespeare's shows for 400 years. It's now being done more and more in the United States, especially in the summer, because it's his one true sitcom. It's just light, fair, and it's wonderful comedy, and it's still Shakespeare. So that's
and our director, David Gerard, is doing lots of really fun slapstick and physical humor, and we're utilizing some of the young talent in the show during some of the transitions, and it's a lot of fun. Hopefully you'll feel really smart because it's Shakespeare, but even smarter because you get it.
Yes, that's right. You can figure it out
yes.
and actually know what's going on.
Yes.
So we've had a lot of Shakespeare on this week on the program, and I'm thrilled about that because it means it's being done, and it is out there, and everyone's doing something different, which is even better. So where have you found your niche in the world of Shakespeare?
Well, because it's been in the summer, we felt initially, this is our 13th year, and we focused primarily on comedies, thinking that's what audiences would appreciate in the summer. But a few years ago, we decided to do Hamlet, and it was very successful. So we're confident at this point that we can really attack anything, and our audiences will go along with us. But this was the year for the sitcom, and we're delighted with that. We may very well come back with the Scottish play next year.
And I love Saratoga Shakespeare because it's free and it's professional. So you're getting really good actors kind of in the theme of free Shakespeare in the Park that you have in Central Park in New York City that Joe Papp started.
Yep.
So the idea that you can bring the kids, I know I've been bringing my kids for years and years. They've been watching Shakespeare every summer, and it's a great way to introduce your children to Shakespeare.
So you're in Congress Park. So
mm-hmm.
you're outside?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And therefore subject to the weather. So if it rains, we can't perform. So we do various dances to prevent the rain every year.
Is that what you kids were doing the other night?
That's right.
You know, but as I said yesterday, we've had enough. It's gotten through its system, and you'll be fine for the next.
Oh, it's funny. I said to my husband the other day, I was almost perversely looking forward to all of the heat as this sort of acting challenge, but it looks like it's going to cool down for our audiences. It's going to be like, you know, like high 70s by the time they get there.
We've been pretty
really
wet and sweaty in rehearsals.
Yeah. It's all good.
And so it's free. People come out and they get to see you. And does it? I eventually wanted to ask you the question for all of you who are acting in it of what it's like to be in the sitcom. But being in an environment where there are these distractions, because you know the kids and dogs and ducks and all kinds of
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Ducks are the best.
That kind of adds to the fun, doesn't
it? It does.
Yeah,
it does. And no. Production wherever you perform is without its distractions. You know, unfortunately, especially in this cell phone era where somebody's tweeting or somebody's doing something. So, you know, that's part of the work that you do is to focus and not be distracted as And if we can incorporate the energy from the audience, that's all the better.
And people forget how much Shakespeare is direct addressed to the audience, mm-hmm. because Shakespeare wrote for the people of his time. And so there are opportunities in nearly every one of his plays to directly look at the audience members. And we certainly do it a lot in the show. We take things right down to the audience. We'll be referencing people in the audience, maybe at some points using people in the audience. So it's a lot more fun.
And we can see them. Unlike being in a dark theater, right. You look out there and you just see a sea of faces, but you really can't see those faces react. Out here, you see everything, including the ducks walking across the stage, which we can't ignore. In a comedy, I think it's fairly easy for us to incorporate them.
Right.
In Hamlet, not so much.
Yeah. And when is it ever a distraction to see the faces? I mean, you know, we turn the lights off for a reason.
I don't think so. I think, you know, it's the way things are done at the New Globe in London now.
Right.
And I was so impressed when Mark Rylance did Hamlet and spoke to the audience, the groundlings, and got tremendous reactions from them, great laughs in Hamlet, which is actually a very funny play, and couldn't have done that in a darkened theater. Not in the same way. So I love seeing the audience.
And those of us who perform locally a lot, I know we've been on stage at Capitol Rep. Capitol Rep is a thrust stage. You can see the first couple of rows
sure
at Capitol Rep every time you're there. So you become very used to dealing with...
We've done Hubbard Hall.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah.
We've all pretty much... worked everywhere.
Done the circuit, yeah.
We've done lots of shows together. In fact, it's one of the wonderful things about working on this particular play. There's six professional actors in the show, and we've all done shows together before. And it's so important when you're doing a comedy that you have some sort of rapport with each other. I know Brandy and I have worked together numerous times. She's one of my closest friends. So playing her best friend in a comedy is lots of fun for us, and hopefully extremely believable, because it's not really that hard to do.
No. You know, this is a very short rehearsal period, too. And so for actors to develop the kind of trust and camaraderie and intimacy that would tell the story of best friends, mistresses Page and Ford, you know, other actors could do it, but you only have a few days to do it
right.
in. So it's so nice to have that groundwork already laid.
What is your rehearsal?
2 weeks.
Schedule. 2 weeks.
We do Shakespeare in 2 weeks.
And because of the contract, it's a 35-hour-a-week.
We're not even allowed to work 40 hours a week. So it's pretty intense.
So it's a lot to get in there in a short period of time.
Yes, it is.
We thrive on it, Joe. It's no problem.
Well, sure. But it's sort of the way of regional and even summer theater, right?
Right.
That you get that 2 week period, you put it up, and then
we also you're off to Saratoga the races. Shakespeare is really wonderful at incorporating interns. We have interns from Union, from Skidmore, from Russell
Suffolk.
Sage, from Suffolk.
Suffolk University. Yeah.
So you know, these interns work a lot more hours
Union.
Than we do. And oddly enough, all of us who are in this cast, we're all educators as well. I know I've taught at almost every college around here. Larry's trying to get me at Skidmore.
Yes,
I'm trying to get up there. And so the relationship that we have with the interns that are in the show has been really productive and wonderful. David Gerard, who's a very popular actor from the area, is directing. And he's been great with the interns because we like to teach at the same time that we like to perform. And so there's a lot of that going on.
And it would be hard, I think it would be hard to do, we've been touching on this week, but it would be hard to do any large-scale production without the kids, without the interns, without
Absolutely.
That group.
Right. It's a challenge to find a piece that has enough roles so we can entice interns in, and we guarantee the acting interns will be on stage. So it's a balance of how many roles we're going to have, and that complicates the rehearsal process. The more roles, the more time it takes. But I think we found that balance on this one.
Yvonne touched on this at the very beginning, and I'm just curious as to your thoughts on it, Larry, about the accessibility of Shakespeare and if that's ever a challenge to overcome then. I mean, once you get them there, it's much easier, but getting them there.
Yeah, we do our best not to dumb down Shakespeare at all. We edit the work. We are committed to keeping it within a certain time limit. We don't have lights. We have to be done by 8 o'clock or very close to it. So as with almost every Shakespearean production, the text is cut somewhat. But if the actors understand what they're saying, and we work very hard to do that, they will convey the meaning to the audience. The audience will not necessarily know every word, but if the actors do, I think we're successful at getting them through the play. And I think this story is being told very, very clearly by David.
1930 Saratoga, so it works well.
And we're not actually mistresses, you should know. That's part of the plot, that we don't want to be mistresses. You know, Brenny and my character were both in marriages, and that devilish Larry, as Falstaff, comes in and tries to hit on both of us at the same time.
So that makes the era particularly rich for this piece, because there's prohibition speakeasies, there's gambling, there's just enough naughty to give credence to Falstaff's believing that this plot that he has hatched might actually work, that he's going to con these wealthy women out of their husband's money because he's, you know, so seductive and attractive.
Mm,
and then, of course, the plot gets foiled. Yeah, I know. So our greasy night.
And I like that it's one of Shakespeare was good at writing smart women. And certainly this play has its share of smart women. And that's always fun, too.
The story is that after seeing Henry IV, Part 1 and Part 2, Queen Elizabeth loved the character of Falstaff so much that she insisted that Shakespeare write another play with Falstaff falling in love. Now, this play isn't exactly about him falling in love.
But he's not a secondary character in this play.
No, and perhaps in lust, but it's really about money. He's trying to get the money of the husbands of these two women. And because he needs money, he's down at the heels.
And when you need money, go to Saratoga and hit the track.
You've got it.
You know how well that works, right, John?
Yes, absolutely. It's a foolproof plan.
Guaranteed.
This is a wonderful production. The Weary Wives. No, let's try that again. The Merry Wives. It's a much different play. The Merry Wives
season.
Of Windsor. Yes, next season. Runs July 16th through the 28th on the Alfred Solomon stage in Congress Park in Saratoga Springs. It's Tuesday through Saturday. Performances beginning at 6:30. Sunday matinees are at 3. It is a delight to have you all here. Yvonne, Brenny, Larry, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
Yes, have a wonderful time.
See you in the park.
Indeed. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from Troy Cloth and Paper, offering their own line of stationery, art prints, and apparel designs, eco-minded silkscreen printing services, and silkscreen classes in downtown Troy. TroyClothandPaper.com. Berkshire Health Systems, working to improve the health of people in the Berkshires and surrounding communities, berkshirehealthsystems.org. And Chesterwood, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, the summer home and studio of Daniel Chester French, sculptor of Abraham Lincoln for the Lincoln Memorial, chesterwood.org.
Ray Graff, you look pensive.
I guess I am a little pensive, Tom Job.
Why does the weight of apprehension furrow your brow?
The what now?
What's wrong?
Oh, I see. Well, I can't seem to come up with a clever new web promo.
Well, why don't you just tell the people that WAMC.org features audio archives, the latest news, podcasts, a live studio cam, and they can make an online pledge and comment on stories they hear. That's what I'd tell them.
Oh, you mean do a simple, serious promo for WAMC.org?
Exactly.
Nah, that'll never work.
Sorry I brought it up.
This Saturday and Sunday, a dozen, or as I've written in the script, I realize a dozen 12 is what it says here. I think I meant to say a dozen or so of Washington County, New York's best artists will open their studio doors, invite us inside to see their latest works and talk about the creative process. Not a gallery, not an exhibition, but a visit into the artist's world and workshop. The Open Studios Tour gives us a chance to connect with the art through the artist. It takes you through Lower Washington County, which is glorious, and some of the most striking vistas in New York State. And you'll enjoy the ride from studio to studio. And yes, you may even love that as much as the art, but I doubt it. To find out more, we welcome the Open Studios Tour Director, Sue Sanderson, and artist Leslie Park to tell us more. It's a delight to have you both here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good to see you, Joe.
Well, it's good to have you. I think you do a wonderful job on this. This is every 2 years you do this.
That's correct. We need to give the artists some time to
develop their work and to repaint their studios between visits. So we give them every 2 years.
Every 2 years, and you have in this 11 or 12, right? Is that?
We have 12. We'd like to keep it small enough that you can see all the artists. If you rush, you can do it in one day, but it's really nice to take the 2 days and go to every studio. And we wanted it so that you could have a quality experience. First year, I thought people would come and spend, 10 minutes and then take off. They were there in my studio for 2 hours at times. So it was a different experience than what I was expecting.
Yeah, that seems excessive.
Well, it was great. They would look at the work. They would be with their friends. They'd chat about the work. They'd pull you over and say, what are you doing?
Then it's time to move on.
Yeah.
You just say, hey, here's a map.
Yeah, and what Leslie doesn't get to see that I got to see in the first tour was she was in her studio and had her experience. But as a visitor, I got to go to, I think that year, 12 studios. And, you sort of go with an itch to see the art and an itch to see the creative process. And you see that in museums and you see that in galleries. But you step into an artist's studio and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Like here I am within that experience talking to the artist and seeing a full range of work. The studio experience that year for me was exceptional. It's why I wanted to get involved with this tour and these artists.
It's an amazing thing because so this is your third, right?
Fourth.
That's right. And I've done all three prior, and it's by the way, ladies and gentlemen, it isn't really, it's literally outside my front yard, so it's not like I have to travel far. But anyway, but I'm encouraging you to do so because it's well worth it. But it is what I am continually amazed by is not only the amazing art that takes place in these places that I pass by every single solitary day, but the of how eclectic and different the work is. And I think that is what is so incredible and fascinating about the tour.
Well, as someone who has always worked in the area, you think the kind of work that's going to take place in the country is only country-related, and that's not true at all. And this year we're getting even more diverse because we've added Stephen Lack and Clarence King to the tour. And Stephen is your real New York artist, reviewed in the New York Times in Art in America. He's a Canadian who was in New York in the 80s, a bad boy, as it were. And his work is what you would expect to see in Soho, or I'm showing my age, in Chelsea, excuse me. And we have it right here in Washington County. So that's one end of the spectrum. And then Clarence King is someone who lived in the area his whole life, and his work is very much the landscape painting that you would expect to see on a tour like this, but of such an exceptional quality that I think you'll really enjoy seeing what he does with his view of the landscape.
And it is fascinating to see, I think, both things, both the impact of the area on the art,
mm-hmm.
but also maybe even the lack of impact, which is fascinating.
And as you move on to, like, Hani Varosi, who brings an international background to her work, and she works in mixed media and does things like woodblock villages that you can mount on the wall.
Yep.
This year she's featuring whimsical birds made out of ceramic and finished in rubbed wax, which are just beautiful. Her husband, Jula Varosi, an exceptional and dramatic sculptor, features pieces for your tabletop all the way up to, wow, I might need another room to appreciate this.
Well, so much so that he built a room.
Absolutely.
I mean, his studio is beautiful. I mean, he was also an architect, but built that studio at the end of North Road in Greenwich in the bustling hub of Casa Yuna.
It's a wonderful combo. It's like this modernist barn in the country. So it's very country and very modern, and it's stunning.
And I see that it's lit up, and you go by it, and you're like, this is the coolest thing in the world.
Oh, it's a really gorgeous space.
And they also have great dogs, but that's another issue. Okay. and then what else do we have?
Well, we have Ginny McNeese with her incredible pastels, wonderful colorist, as we all know.
Now, Ginny, I have to say, I find this fascinating because when I said this earlier, I go by her house every day. Every single solitary day, I had no idea that was going on in that house.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. It's really incredible.
Yeah, and her husband was an architect, so he just built a whole complex for her. It's a great setting again.
Very cool.
And her pastels, well known, are magnificent. But you'll also see her works in oil in the studio there also. And of course, Leslie Peck, who's been on the tour for 4 years and is well known around the area, continues depicting in oil the animals in the area and the nobility and their personality, but also has added quite a few wonderful still lives to be viewed this year.
I noticed people are calling her the Vermeer of Washington County on Facebook.
She is, not only a delightful human being, but also
gorgeous.
Such a talented, talented artist. And nobody can paint a cow quite like Leslie can, I think. And I love her backstory because it wasn't until the studio tour that I realized that she got her start doing cover art for romance novels.
Of which you'll see some of those original pieces as you go through her studio.
Well, yeah, because you see cows, the roosters, the sheep, and then there's like some guy ripping the ripping open his shirt, and you're like, "Well, how'd that happen?" Yeah, it's very funny.
Yeah, and Regina Wickham is our ceramicist on the tour.
She's great,
and she is a real pro. She's been doing this for 30 years, and it's just a master at work.
And then Jim Shands. I don't think we mentioned.
He's our left brain, right brain person. He put together our website.
Means. Oh, okay.
And he also is a realist painter, does great things again of the country, but also nudes, and he's exploring some new areas. And he's going to be in the space where we'll have a reception after the Saturday tour in downtown Greenwich.
And Joan Duff Boer?
Joan Duff Boer is basically an abstract artist. She is a real inspiration for people because she's going strong and doing the most extraordinary work and has been doing it for quite a few decades now, but I won't say how many. And she has just really done over her studio this year to great advantage, so certainly worth the trip.
And has some wonderful new works to take a look at. I was out there yesterday as she was setting up and was just amazed at the new pieces that she had hanging in her studio. So definitely a must-see.
And we couldn't have anyone more traditional than Will Moses,
right,
who in the tradition of his family does these wonderful folk pieces. And Will will be on hand at his studio Saturday and Sunday to meet with people.
And I think the only one we left out is Arlene Tarkin.
Yeah, and to say a few words about Arlene, she was on the tour last time and was tremendously successful, but is recovering from a stroke this year.
Yeah.
So her studio will not be open. And upon hearing this, all the artists in the tour said, we would like to do something. So they're showing pieces from Arlene within their studio. It is significant of what kind of community these artists are.
Well, it's a terrific tour and a wonderful opportunity to see just gorgeous art in a gorgeous part of the world. You can find out more information. And Leslie, you're the guest and I forgot, but I only have 30 seconds. But you get to go see Leslie's studio, which is is in the Village of Cambridge, and you get to explore this building, and it's a lot of fun getting to your studio.
19th century factory building,
yeah,
at the top floor.
And you take an elevator, but don't. Do the steps, and you won't have to go to the gym for like 3 weeks.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And then once you're up there, that's where you're right. You do want to stay there for 3 hours once you get up there, because you don't want to take those steps again.
That's it. I'm trapped then.
And your work is so big and enormous and inviting and incredible that it takes that time to look at it.
Exactly.
What a tour. It's a wonderful time. And you can find out more information by going to the website. It's studiotour.org. Studiotour.org. And see the map, print it out, make your plans, and have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. It takes place on Saturday and Sunday. I thank you both, Sue and Leslie, for coming in. I appreciate it. You're wonderful, and have a terrific weekend.
Thank you, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from Homebrew Emporium in North Greenbush, West Boylston, South Weymouth, and Cambridge, offering beer, wine, and cheesemaking equipment.